Bibles. We'll get right to the word of the Lord. The second chapter of the book of Acts. Hallelujah. Someone said if you Pentecostals didn't have the second chapter of Acts, you wouldn't have a leg to stand on. And I got tickled because I said, we got it. What are you standing on? Hallelujah. Acts chapter number 2. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord and in one place. And that's one of the great miracles that's already happened in the church. You get a Pentecostal church in one accord, you've done something. At a business meeting. Then the second miracle, you get them all out to a service after they've been there, the meeting's been going 10 days. Most saints play out by the end of Sunday night, and Monday it's the fear not little flock. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. It sat on each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. And now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded because that they heard every man speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all of these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in his own tongue wherein we were born? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, dwellers of Mesopotamia, and in Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Pergia, Pamphylia, Egypt, parts of Libya, Cyrene, strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. Hallelujah. I said, the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Others mocking said, these men are drunk. They're full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it's but the third hour of the day. But this is that was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Hallelujah. That's shouting crowd, folks. That's enough for everybody here to get the baptism on this morning. I will pour out of my spirit. Woo, hallelujah. I want us to believe. I believe God can fill believers before I get through preaching this morning. While Peter yet spake the word, the Holy Ghost fell on the Gentiles. Hallelujah. And it happened in the upper room, and nobody, it just broke into the message. Luke was recording it. He said about Peter's sermon, with many other words did he testify and exhort. Just while the Holy Ghost while they were praising and blessing God, the Spirit of God fell upon them. Conviction fell while Peter preached the word. Let's read it. It came to, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. Upon my servants and handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above, signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let's lift our hands and give him a praise offering this morning. Oh, blessed Jesus, wondrous Lamb of Calvary, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you for that anointing we receive from the hand of the Lord. We're well aware of your word. Without you, we can do nothing. We need that divine touch of God, that quickening from on high. That only comes by the unction of the Holy One. Would you grant us that we may speak as the pen of a ready writer? And may the glory of God be in this tabernacle, and your divine will accomplished, that the heavens may open and give us rain in due season. To you will give glory and praise. Amen. I want to speak to you on the subject, what the devil saw at Pentecost. He saw something he had never seen before. Hallelujah. Don't you love it when the devil pulls a boo-boo? You see, he is a conniving, lying, subtle. He is a cunning, pretty, slick individual, but he makes mistakes. You see, the devil really doesn't do his main work at the honky-tonk. He does it in church. He's a religious devil. He was one time the anointed cherub, the angel of light. He was in the heaven. In fact, he still has access to the throne of God. You see, he shows up at the meetings in heaven, and he's there day and night to accuse you and accuse the brethren. So you see, the devil's not in hell. He doesn't have a pitchfork and a long tail. He's got credentials to preach. And I think he has a television program. And so I just thought I'd serve notice on you. The devil is not that person you might have pictured him. Because you've looked in some kind of a paper and they had him with horns coming out both ears. And if he came with you with horns and a pitchfork, you'd get him. But he's a subtle one. In fact, the Bible said, and I read it in the book of Job, when the sons of God came to appear before the presence of the Lord, the devil was there on the front seat chewing gum. No, that isn't in the book. But he was there. And the devil appeared, and when he got there, God looked down and saw Mr. Devil sitting at the throne room, and he said, have you ever looked at Job? Well, he said, what's his address? And it's Route 1, Uz. And the devil said, all right, well, let me to him. I'll go down there, and I can handle him. That nearly everybody succumbs to me eventually. And the Bible said he sent storm and fire and destruction and wiped out everything Job had. The thieves drove off his sheep, his oxen, his cattle, everything he had. You see, the devil pulled a boo-boo. He thought Job believed this prosperity gospel. see, if you believe that, the devil knows he can get you if he can wipe you out. But when you know that your faith is not anchored in First Federal or in savings and loan, but your faith is anchored in Jesus Christ, you've got something that the devil can't even... Woo! That's shouting ground. Job lost everything he had and gave the devil one of the biggest blows he ever got. He lifted up both hands and shouted that night and said, "The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Woo! Hallelujah. Our faith is not tied to a dollar bill. Bless your heart, honey. You can go to heaven in a 48 Volkswagen. Can I tell you? Some of the best Christians that live on planet Earth doesn't even own a toothbrush. Has never ridden in an automobile. Doesn't know what Florsheim shoes is. Amen. Have never been to Six Flags. Woo! Hallelujah. They've been washed in the blood, saved by His grace, kept by His power. Hallelujah. That's the secret. That's the secret. The devil pulled a boo-boo. He thought Job was wrapped up in this prosperity business. Oh, we're going to have, I got to hurry. I'm going to the upper room. We're going to get the Holy Ghost this morning. But I got to tell you about the boo-boos the devil pulled, and I'm going to go there. Number two, he came back next year, conviction time. And God said, "Say, have you seen Job?" He said, "Oh, yes, I was down there." Took everything he had away. He's flat broke. His children are all dead. He doesn't have anything left. And he said, "If you'll just let me to him, he's no case." And then the devil pulled another boo-boo when he said, "Woo, I didn't know there was a hedge." But the devil put it in this Bible so I can shout about it and you can preach about it. He put it in here. The devil put it in here. If you'll take down that hedge, woo, God Almighty has got a limit. There is no temptation taking you but what is not common to man. And God will with every temptation. Shout it, you child of the King. Washed in the blood. Jimmy Mayo, he pulled a boo-boo. Hallelujah. He pulled another one. He got together the religious leaders, high moguls. Have you ever seen high moguls? These characters that go around with, they're so great and mighty, with their heads so high, if it came a hard rain, they'd drown. God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. God shoves the proud folks back, but He'll bless those that are humble. Hallelujah. God has no place for proud flesh. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so He got the religious leaders. Usually the devil works on religious folks. And usually he gets in churches. Now, he'd rather have a dead, dry church or one that's lopsided. He either wants you to fry or freeze. I went to a church the other day, and they got dancers. And the very minute the music starts, they woo, doo, 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 doo. Dummy, dummy, dummy. Would somebody shout? That's not the answer. The answer is when his glory comes down and the presence of the King and lives are hidden with Christ in God. You don't have to have dancers to lead you. Bless your little thumping heart. I'm having a good time. The devil pulled the boo-boo, and so he got the religious leaders and the chief priest and the keepers of the synagogue to crucify Jesus and ask for Jesus to be crucified. And that bunch maneuvered and got the law officials to arrest Jesus and brought him in. And they stood out on the outside and screamed, "Crucified!" Woo! But he pulled another boo-boo and he knew it. Because about the time he thought he had the Son of God exactly where he wanted him, that they had not driven the first nail till he got a blow on his head like he'd never got. For the seed of the woman shall bruise the head of the serpent. And that blood atones, that blood atones. I said that blood atones. Devils ran for cover and shrieked in sorrow and regretted it, because that blood will wash away every stain. Whosoever will, can come and be clean by the power of that name, Jesus. Woo! Hallelujah! I want to shout a while. The blood, nothing but the blood, nothing but the blood. Sing it again. Get it out and sing about the blood. The devil can't take that. He gets high blood pressure. Pull one more. I'm going to talk about it. I can talk about some more, but he pulled another one. Paul said, "I was coming to Thessalonica, but Satan hindered me." Now, some of these new boys are on now. Glory to God. They're just chasing devils. Paul didn't have any tapes from Tulsa. I'm going to get in trouble. I said, Paul didn't know about that. So Paul said, "I was coming to you folks over there at Thessalonica, but Satan hindered me." He pulled another boo-boo. Oh, Paul pulled out his pen and began to write. Under the Church of Thessalonica, greetings, hallelujah. Paul, an apostle called to the will of God. And then right over there in the middle of that book, he gave the devil a heart attack. "The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever." I said ever. Hallelujah. Glory to God in the Lamb. Woo! Shandabamamaba. Brother, it's still real. Preach it, shout it, sing it. Woo! Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. That's just how I feel. Hallelujah. Chubbies are coming. I said he's a coming back in clouds of glory. Brother Cooper, get your shouting clothes on. You're due to leave here any time. Hallelujah. Doesn't thrill you? Stay here. If you don't like revival, and I hope you don't get to go anyway, you'd make it miserable on all of us. You'd want out in 30 days. If you think this is something, just wait till we get an innumerable host that no man can number, that come from every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue, and crown him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's coming. He's coming. George Harden, it's real. I said, it's real. He's not coming on Sunday. He'll probably come during the revival on Tuesday night or Wednesday night, so that that Sunday bunch won't even know what happens till they get. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm hurrying. Well, I started out in the upper room. Devil looked on in the upper room. See, three worlds looked at that upper room. Heaven looked on with delight. The devil looked on with dismay. The world looked on with doubt. And angels looked on with desire. The book, Peter said angels, if they could get a leave of absence, would come here and look into this Holy Ghost. That's just what, isn't that what he said? So, in the upper room, the devil saw something he'd never seen before. You see, he saw God keep his promise. Hallelujah. All of a sudden, he saw this book is the I can't reach through there. These cheap pulpits, anyway. This book, every promise in it, is going to be fulfilled. Jesus said, not one jot, not one tittle, not one period, not one comma will pass till all be fulfilled. How do you like that, Madeline Murray, old hair, wild hair? It'll live to preach your funeral. This book lives. It's forever settled in heaven. Hallelujah. Oh, it's a God and the Lamb forevermore. Yeah, every once in a while comes Dr. Dumbbell, looks down his glasses. Trying to tell a bunch of lost parishioners, it's not for us today. And when Dr. Dumbbell is through, and he'll live to preach his funeral, and somebody will come by, and they'll get tired of living on dry, cold, dead fodder. They'll climb out of that church and go across town and find out it's still real. It's still real. It's still real. I'm hurrying. He saw God but keep his promise. Isaiah said, the word, whom shall I make to understand doctrine? Whom shall I teach doctrine? Somebody said, Brother Brankle, I don't want you preaching doctrine in our church. Bless your little puny, pin-whiskered soul. Doctrine's one of the most important things in your church. You see, that's the road you travel down. That's the highway we're on. When you get wrong doctrinally, you'll get wrong spiritually. You'll get wrong every way. Speak thou the things, Paul said, preacher boy, Titus, that become sound doctrine. Take heed to yourself and to your doctrine, Timothy. In so doing, you'll save yourself and them that hear you. We've had this bunch running loose every direction. We don't want anybody to correct us. Nobody tell us. Glory to God's word. Hallelujah. And we've wound up with 1,000 little splinters that do not know which way they're going. I preached for 25 years and never in penny. I've been preaching full time 42 years. And I know that you think it's surely longer than that. Face looks like it's wore out two bodies. But I can tell you, I've been preaching, but for 25 years I preached and never heard a person in Pentecost say, I don't know what to believe. We knew what we believed. Glory to God. We knew the devil was a liar. This word is eternally true. The Jesus saves, Jesus heals, Jesus fills. He's coming in clouds of glory, and we have a hope beyond this veil of tears. We never question it. This muddled, mixed multitude confusion has come because we've disregarded this book and traded for a set of tapes from Dr. Dumbbell. And we came home from a seminar confused. Let's get this book out one more time and start and read it again and read it again and preach it and believe it and read it and preach it and believe it again. Woo! Hallelujah! Jim Rentsch, you got this started and got out of hand on me this morning. Hallelujah! I'm having a hard time keeping jumping off this pulpit. You folks don't understand, but this thing will go up and down. Underneath that there's something that'll make it go up and down. And usually we have it down, but we got it up. And I've ran at this side several times. Hallelujah. Pentecost. The devil saw God would keep his word. Isaiah said, "Whom shall I teach doctrine? Them that are weaned from the breast or weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast." You see, none of us mind warming bottles for babies. If you're a baby Christian, we'll help you. We'll understand. But it gets to be monotonous to part the whiskers to get the nipple in. Grow up! Become something for God! Not move with every wind of doctrine, but your faith is anchored in a soul-stirring victory that's in Calvary, and your faith is unshakable till you can shout in the face of every foe, "I know in whom I have believed." Hallelujah! 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 Glory to God. Ooh. If you shout that three times, we're here for the afternoon. Charles Greenway, move over. We're coming through. You see, I got saved when I was 7 years old. I've been saved nearly all my life. Got saved. I never had been a bad sinner. Stole some cookies. Put a frog in the teacher's desk. She needed to get saved. When that frog jumped out of there. Told you yesterday I smoked one cigarette. I made it out of coffee and roll your own. And Dad delivered me from smoking. Dad was an astronomer. He put stripes on the sun. But you see, this thing's real with me. I got saved. I've never been inside of a picture show in my life, but once I had to go in and get a guy out. And I prayed, "Lord, don't let the rapture take place while I'm in this hellhole. I don't think you'll go from there. I don't think you'll go. I think you folks that love Hollywood, you'd better sleep in the attic, because that's just about as high as you're going to get." Come on. Woo! This world's going to pass away. If you love the world, the love of the Father's not in you. Brother, if this world can thrill you and entertain you, there's something wrong down in here. Hallelujah. I've got to get to the upper room. I haven't got there. Esau, God would keep his word. And you know what Isaiah said? Isaiah said, whom shall we make to understand doctrine? Those that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. For the word of the Lord is unto them line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. And then he shouted, with stammering lips and another tongue, will I speak unto this people. For this is the rest wherein it calls the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing. Holy, holy. Joel clinched it when he said, and it shall come to pass. And I like that. Devil, how do you like that? It doesn't matter how much you fight it. If one church dies, God's going to have another group of Pentecostal fanatics over here. Say amen. Lord, I like what Brother Swaggart said last night. I liked what he preached. Ooh, he got to blessing my soul when he talked about those churches when everybody went to the choir and we sang and had to tune the guitar after we got up there. I don't think God gets glory out of confusion, but I don't think God Almighty is just looking for perfection either. If he had it, he wouldn't have made some of us. In fact, it just looks... No, I'm not going to say that. The word of the Lord, it shall come to pass. Hallelujah. Doesn't matter what they teach. If that denomination, doesn't matter what Dr. Sounding Brass's seminar taught. Really doesn't matter, because God's Holy Ghost said, it shall come to pass. It shall come to pass. Hallelujah. I've been preaching to this bunch. I'm going to preach up there to those cheap seats. Hallelujah. It shall come to pass in the balcony. I will pour out of my spirit in the last days, saith God, upon all flesh. Your sons, your daughters, they'll prophesy. Your old men will see dream. Your young men will see visions. And the ladies are going to get it. The handmaidens are going to talk in tongues. The servants are going to talk in tongues. I'm going to pour out of my spirit. Hallelujah. John the Baptist, that's my preacher. I like John the Baptist. Any Baptist here? Let me see your hand. You're ruined. I love old brother John the Baptist. Had credentials with the Baptist Association. Got the Holy Ghost before he was born. That's my preacher. I like old John. Old John, he wouldn't fit in the mold. He wasn't with the upper crust. Out holding open air meeting down by Jordan, fighting mosquitoes. And old brother John was in the meeting, was preaching, repent. And that's just about forgotten inside of the church. Repent, repent. We've got folks come down and they accept Jesus. Honey, do you accept? Yes. No wonder they're drinking their cocktails the next day and going to the theater. No wonder they're running around with not enough clothes on, make a jackrabbit a pair of leggings. And said, no wonder they didn't repent. When you repent, you confess sin, you turn from your sin. Let's preach repentance again. The answer is repent. If you want to get saved, repent. If you want to get the Holy Ghost, repent. If you want healing, repent. If you want to touch God, repent. Brother Brankle, that's not what we've been taught. What Jesus said, except you repent, you shall in no wise. That's what he said. You'll all likewise perish. You know what he said? If you pray for the sick and they don't get their healing, he said, confess your faults one to another. That's repent, confess. If you don't die before you get them all confessed. Somebody said, Brother Brankle, I'd repent, but I don't have anything to repent of. That's the worst sin in this crowd. Self-righteousness. Repent. Repent. Lady prayed so hard in one of my meetings the other day, she left both eyelashes laying on the altar. I'm sure they weren't real. I don't know for sure, but I don't know why ladies would want an extra pair of eyelashes. They look like a Volkswagen with hood lamps making a right turn. I'm so glad you folks came my last year at camp here. Here it is. I got to get to my message. John said, repent. And the only way you'll really get through to God is genuine repentance. God will not save a right, self-righteous, proud, arrogant individual. We have to come and repent. And the reason why churches are lukewarm and cold, and it takes somebody to entertain, and some quartet, or the Stripers, or the Strippers, or the Stinkers. Say amen. God save our pastors. They'll have these so-called Christian rock groups in our churches. I hope they get saved. Say amen. I want them to get saved. Saved, saved. Get right with God. No such thing as Christian rock. You might as well talk about a Pentecostal liquor store. Hallelujah! Folks, God's doing a work in our hour. That's the reason why we've gone back to entertainment. That's why we have to have something special to pull people out. When you're in love with Jesus and you've repented and you've been born again, you can shout it all that thrills my soul is Jesus. He is more than life to me. He's the lily of the valley, the fairest of 10,000. Hallelujah! He's Lord God Almighty. Nobody needs to thrill you. You don't need entertainment. If you've drank from the river, it's divine, it's real, it's glorious, it's wonderful, it's powerful. Hallelujah. Holy. Glenn Miller, once you have this experience, it's easy to pray. The word becomes real. Jesus becomes king. Hallelujah. Woo! Brother, you can have a Holy Ghost runaway. Your soul will drink out of the river. I'm a feeling it in my bones now. If you think that I'm going to get excited over some bunch that comes in our church that got clothes on that you wouldn't go fishing in. Head looks like an explosion in a mattress factory. I'm not about to, brother. You've turned your kids loose with that raunchy rocker bunch. And you'll wonder why they're going to hell. There's only one difference between Christian rock and the other, they say, is the lyrics, and you can't understand them. You can't get excited because of their wiggle. It's coming on. God kept it. Hey, John, tell them the way to Jesus is repent. The way to the kingdom is repent. The way to God is repent. The way to get the Holy Ghost is repent. Because Peter preached it on the day of Pentecost. On the day of Pentecost, when the 3,000 were saved and 120 got the baptism, they came in and said, men and brethren, what should we do? And Peter said, get a blue card. And meet me at the Holiday Inn in the Fulham room. Come on, I'll be there this afternoon. I'm going to hold a seminar on how to have your prayer language. Come on. No, Peter said, what shall we do? He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, because if you have remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the promises unto you and your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Whew. Repent. Repent. And then old John looked up and said, don't you think because you're assembly of God, I'm going to work on you, Baptist. Not enough of you. What about the church of God and the assembly of God and some other kind? That's good preaching, John. I wish I was out there so I could say amen. Because if you're in your denomination that you're all right and you're sons of God, God's able of these stones to raise up children. God will make these flint rocks saints. Glory, do you feel that flint rock? God's able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And then he preached on something we don't preach anymore. The fear of God has been laughed at, mocked at, scoffed. And sir, it's the most important thing you possess in life. I said the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of God is the fountain of life. The fear of God is a great treasure. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. Fear God and keep his commandments. This is the whole duty. We've laughed at it. Jesus loves you. He understands. Drink a little, smoke a little, cheat a little, lie a little, run around another woman once in a while. That's a lie from the pits. Jesus loves sinners, but he doesn't love sin. And God will not overlook sin in anyone. He said, the axe is laid at the root of the tree, and every tree that doesn't produce shall be hewn down and cast into the fire. Now, sir, it's either produce or burn. And then I like what he said. Old John was preaching and he looked up and he said, folks, I've been having a great revival and all Judea's turned out, but I see one coming under the brush harbor. I see him. There he is. John said, he's the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. He's Savior. He's Lord. And then old brother John said it out loud. Glory, in a Baptist church. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Hallelujah! 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 He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost with fire. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Hallelujah. And then John had an experience of a lifetime. The virgin born, spotless, sinless, holy, unblameable Son of God walked down and got in the baptismal line. He who knew no sin was to take my place as a sinner. He came to fulfill the righteousness of God. And that one whose guile, no guile had ever come out of his mouth, stood in line with sinners. And when John got to him, he said, I can't baptize you. I'm not even worthy to untie your shoes. This crowd that's running around saying my word carries the same authorities as God, and I'm an apostle, and that's baloney off of ice. I want to tell you something. If you ever get in the presence of God, you don't go around bragging how much power you got. You'll fall at his feet and cry, unworthy, 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 unworthy. When John the Beloved saw the simulating glory of the resurrected, glorified Christ, he fell at his feet as dead. And John had leaned on his breast. Sir, all pride and arrogancy is gone. We fall and say, he's worthy, he's worthy, he's worthy, he's worthy, he's worthy, he's worthy. Hallelujah. Oh, I've got to get to that upper room. I've got 12 more points to this message. Some of my sermons don't have points. They're kind of like a fat man going through a barbed wire fence. A point here and a point there. But I got some more points to this. But I'm not through with it. God, the devil saw that God would keep his word. And John drew back and said, I can't baptize you, Jesus. I just can't do it. Jesus said, suffer to be so. Thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. And God's holy, blameless, undefiled, glorious Son of God was standing in Jordan's river at the hands of a man to be baptized in water, along to represent us with that sinful crowd. And when he did, he came out of the water. When old John raised him up, the father looked over and said, I can't take any more. And about that time, the Holy Ghost started coming down like a dove. And the Spirit of God, like as a dove, sat upon him. And my father thundered from the other world and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Holy, holy, holy. Thank God for God-fearing preachers. Say amen. Thank God for John the Baptist. He came preaching. We need a rebirth of some preaching inside of the church. My daughter's pastor's here. Where are you, Brother Norton? There he is. Hallelujah. That's my pal. See, that's more important to me than anything else. That's my family's pastor. They go there and he preaches God's word, and their soul is fed. Drink out. I pray for him nearly every day. I call and say, my God, anoint him and give him a fresh touch and let the glory fall and make him preach like a man from another world. When I pray like that, he doesn't get to preach. It's real, it's real, it's real, it's real, it's real. My. What time did I get this pulpit? When did I start? Woo, hallelujah. There's some folks from California think it's 8:45. Man, we're going to have church. We on California time now. He saw God would keep his word. I want to stress that. Folks, God keeps his word. Here's what he said. Jesus come out of the water and the heavens opened and the Holy Ghost descended. And Luke chapter 4 verse 1 says, and Jesus being full of the Holy Ghost. And Peter described it in the 10th chapter and said how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing the sick and oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. If Jesus needed the Holy Ghost, we certainly need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. First sermon Jesus ever preached was on the Holy Ghost. When you've got it, it's easy to preach on it. You don't have soap, it's hard to sell soap. I was driving down the road the other day and I got tickled. I turned on one of these religious stations. They got the quackiest quacks on there I ever heard in all of them. Now, not all of them. Don't you look at me like that. But they got some. And Dr. I forgot who he was. Pastor of the First Laodicean Church. Was teaching on the book of Acts, and I got tickled. He said, friends, will you open your Bibles with me for our Bible lesson today to the second chapter of Acts? And I thought, well, glory, I reached over and give the knob a little turn. I said, get it. Hallelujah. That's where we live. He said, when the day of Pentecost, and explained Pentecost, 50 days after the Passover, right? Seventh Sabbath, the morrow after the seventh Sabbath. Was fully come, they were all with one accord. They talked on one accord. Pretty good. I shook my head and said, come on, boy. Sounds a little dry, but you may be there. He came on. There came a sound from heaven, and he explained it as a mighty rushing wind. And he said in the Greek, it was a violent tornadic blast. And I thought, well, that's pretty good. That's right. You on now? Let's read it. But I had detected, he said enough till I knew he didn't have it. And I thought, what's he going to do with that fourth verse when they speak in tongues? He said, friends, I wish I had time to get into that fourth verse. Somebody told me they just can't see it. If they didn't see it, they couldn't dodge it so good. This thing's real. It's real. It's real. It's real. Two cowboys came in a Pentecostal service, sitting in the back of the church. And one of them said, you know, I believe that speaking in tongues is the devil. The other one said, well, I know it's not of the devil, or you and me both would have it. This thing's real. I'm hurrying. I don't guess I'm going to get any further than this, so just well spend my time here. I got some more on this. God, the devil saw God. Maybe I'll preach on the rest of it in the morning or some other day. Maybe next Monday. But, no, you'll be gone. Here it is. Jesus, the first sermon, stood up in the synagogue. And it's not hard to find a synagogue. And he opened his Bible and began to read, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me." Glory, glory, glory. And then John chapter 7, when he had that last day of the feast and he's pouring out water and staying under their little booths, Jesus brought the farewell address. And he stood up and cried with a loud voice. And that would scare some churches literally to death. Jesus stood and cried with a loud voice, "If any man thirst, let him come to me and drink." Oh, I wish I could shout. If anybody at camp meeting is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Spirit, for the Spirit was not yet given, for Jesus was not yet glorified. Woo, if any man thirst. I want to give you a little Bible study when you get home. Go home and look up, if any man, if any sick among you, if any will call on the Lord. This book's if any man. I'm hurrying. The 14th chapter of John, Jesus took his disciples, and that 14th chapter he talked to them about, "In my Father's house are many mansions, and if it was not so, I'd have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I'm going to come again. Doesn't matter what they believe over here in Atlanta, I'm coming again." Well, they don't all believe that, do they? "I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." And then he said, down there about, oh, I don't know, somewhere down on the lower part of that page, just before you turn it. He said, "If you love me." I'd preach on that for the next hour, but I want to preach on it in the morning. "If you love me, keep my commandments." Now, John said if anybody says he loves him and doesn't keep his commandments, he is a liar. Amen. Now, I'm going to tell you something, folks. There's two words that are out of hand now in our fellowship. One of them is love. Love. Now love will correct you. If somebody loves you, they'll tell you the truth. If your wife loves you, she'll be honest with you. If you're a parent and you love your child, you'll correct him. You'll take him to the woodshed. I don't care what Dr. Spook or Spock said. I said, love will correct you. If a pastor loves you, he'll correct you. Love sometimes hurts. I said, love will hurt you. I know it will, because my dad told me. He said, "Son, if I didn't love you, I wouldn't give you this whipping." And then he'd take me out there, and just before he whipped me, he said, "This hurts me worse than it does you." And then he'd tell me that while he's whipping me. And I wanted to tell him, if it's hurting you as bad as it's hurting me, let up, both of us will feel better. Love, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I'll pray the Father, and he'll give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Hallelujah. It's expedient, John 16. I'm going to close. I tell you, we're ready to receive. It's expedient. It's better for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Did you realize how many promises we've got were going to be filled this morning? He shall baptize you. If any man thirst, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Get ready, folks. Get your shouting clothes on. Hallelujah! I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Hallelujah. If your earthly fathers know how to give good gifts unto their children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the gift of the Holy Ghost to them that but love him and obey him? Folks, God Almighty is ready to pour out his spirit. It's expedient for you that I go away. If I go not away, the Comforter will not come. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Come, Holy Ghost, this morning. Hallelujah. 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 John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Get ready, folks. I've got a feeling the heavens wants to open over this tabernacle this day. In the balcony, Lord, would you baptize? In the center aisle, down the sides, would you fill with the Holy Ghost this morning? I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Slip up your hands and let's love him together this morning. More palino bansu tambelinana mahandebo uto iba ala andebebekusanda. Sheporamdola bokuputi elurikusuma otoramatelibi indrekosoma. More brikiboremelebo combrenda yesuda ba libo ola. Somondale meku libi orabis sambrandalebaka. Hallelujah! 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 Great God of heaven, we believe you today for an outpouring of the Holy Ghost.